Welcome to the Out of Chicago podcast. I'm here with my good friend again, Rick Salmon, and he has an interview with one of my favorites, my two favorites, Rick Salmon and Art Wolf. So welcome to the show, Rick.
Well, thank you so much. And speaking of favorites, you are definitely one of my favorites. I was telling you how much I respect you. And I was actually talking to Art Wolf, and you know, I find that I'm friends with people, people that I respect. And I think, and there's a mutual feeling of respect, but also I love working with you. You know, I love working with, I've been around a while, so working with young, talented, dedicated, enthusiastic people who could put on events like Out of Chicago and Out of New York, which I'm thrilled to be speaking at, by the way, coming up in October. You know, it's really cool. And we were talking before we came on that you asked me how I'm doing. And I said, you know, I'm surrounding myself with upbeat, positive people. And I think that's probably my best tip for this podcast, right?
Yeah. No, and I totally agree. And I've been so lucky to have the people that are on my team. You met some of them.
Oh, yeah.
They're the same way, so positive. And it kind of just feeds out through the whole event and everything we do. So that's made it really fun for me.
Well, speaking of that, when we were at Out of Chicago, I think you might remember me telling you, my wife walked into that big theater and she said everybody with the Out of Chicago t-shirts was so friendly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it starts at the top, right?
We'll just say that, yeah. So, yeah, and it's been great to get to know you. Thank you very, very much for coming and doing this and bringing with you Art Wolf today. So tell us a little bit about the interview that you did with Art.
Yeah, I've known of Art for many years. And as he says on the podcast, just in the last couple of years, we've become close friends and good friends, and we talk, and it's been on podcasts. And, you know, he is an artist. He is really an artist. I figure I'm just a photographer. I do try to make the pictures. But in the interview, he talks about, you know, photography, the art of photography. And that's what his new seminar is all about, photography as art. And he talks about what he learned from the different painters that he studied. You know, he started out as a painter. And, you know, I'm looking at his pictures on his home screen here, scrolling by. And they do look just so artistic and so creative. And so he's talking about like an inlay lake in Myanmar, where we orchestrated a picture. You know, I call it making the picture. He calls it orchestrating the picture. And we talked about, you know, I talk about separation, you know, how important separation is in photography. And he calls it, you know, three, you know, dimension, you know, creating a sense of depth and dimension in your picture. So as you'll see in the podcast, or as you'll hear in the podcast, this guy is so enthusiastic about photography. And I think, you know, there's an expression, nothing great was ever accomplished, Chris, without enthusiasm. And he really has this great, great sense of enthusiasm in addition to being an artist. But I got to tell you something else. He's one of the nicest guys. The nicest guys you'll ever meet. I was telling him a story about Jonathan Scott, who was on the podcast. Remember?
Yeah, absolutely. The big cat man. Mm-hmm.
The big cat man. And we were finished our safari in Africa, and we're in the vehicle waiting for the plane to pick us up on the Maasai Mara. And a girl comes up. I still get chills kind of when I talk about this. A woman comes up, young woman, and says, "Jonathan Scott, you're the reason why I'm here. I saw you on Big Cat Diaries." He stopped what he was doing. He got out of the vehicle. He pulled out, and I learned from this. I always have something to give people now. He pulled out one of his pictures on a card and signed it. He's the king of graciousness, and Art Wolf is like that. So why don't we take a listen to the interview and then come back and talk a little bit more about photography as art. And we also talked about, you know, not specializing, so we could cover that too.
All right, very good. So here we go. We've got Rick Salmon with Art Wolf.
Mr. Art Wolf, welcome to the show. How the heck are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing as good as I ever have. And I think the reason for that is I'm traveling a lot. I'm creating a lot. I'm reaching a very broad audience. And what's not to love about that?
And you're having fun doing it, right?
Well, I mean, the entire life has been great and reassuring. And that's what I try to get across to the audiences that I teach to, that whether it's photography or any other creative endeavor, people tend to live longer, happier lives.
No, I definitely believe that. You know, we're going to be talking about your new seminars here, Photography as Art, in just a minute. But I want to ask you a question. You know, I tell people that my specialty as a photographer is not specializing, you know, because I like to do the wildlife, the people, the travel, the studio stuff. And I think when people think of Mr. Art Wolf, they think of, you know, these beautiful wildlife pictures. But you do so much, right? I would say that's kind of like what you do. You don't specialize. You do the people, you know, your people pictures are amazing, your landscapes, your wildlife, your everything you do.
So, well, in fact, I keep evolving my interest, my intellect, as you age, people just, if you strive to stay tuned in, you keep expanding. And what that means as a photographer, you broaden your interests. And I've been doing that ever since I began as a photographer. Yes, I actually first started out photographing large 4x5 black and white photos of the Northwest Mountains. And then I got into wildlife photography, which forever connected my name to wildlife. And I love doing that. My last trip was all about wildlife. But yes, I love shooting cultural portraits. The latest endeavor is teaching people how to see, and largely through cultivating the abstract nature of art.
So let's talk about these seminars, Photography as Art. First of all, I'm thrilled, and my wife is thrilled. We're going to be coming to see you pretty soon. Is this an all-day seminar, a couple hours?
It starts at 9 o'clock, and then we have a one-hour break for lunch, and then we finish at 3. So there's 3 different lectures, each one of which is approximately 90 minutes.
Okay, so I have many of your books, and I've seen you all over the place. So what am I going to learn when I come and see you? Because I love learning from you.
Well, that's a great question, and the answer would be, even though you're a seasoned professional and a very artistic photographer, everybody will learn from this lecture. I've learned a tremendous amount just from assembling it and fixating on it for the better part of the last year. And so what you learn is about modern art, abstract expressionism, but more specifically, how you can mine that great movement of the last century and how you can expand your imagination through the process. And that is something I don't think any of my colleagues have tackled, nor would probably have the expertise to tackle, but that's the world I live in. My training was art and art education. So I feel comfortable about talking about everybody from Rothko to Jackson Pollock to William de Kooning, but more specifically, how I use these various artists to expand my own sense of art and composition and creativity.
So you're really thinking art all the time when you're taking pictures? You know, are you trying to create art or are you just trying to document something, or it depends?
Rick, that's a great question. And the answer is, I'm always thinking about art, whether I'm out on the Mongolian steppe or working on mountain gorillas in the heart of the volcanoes in East Africa. Every photo I take, I have that backdrop of composition. I'm looking at the elements around the particular subject I'm shooting, and I'm trying to frame it in the most artistic way. I'm not really about that amazing moment of conflict unless I can do it artistically.
So you're making the picture. In other words, you're setting up the scene. Like, I'm looking at these cormorant fishermen in China, which is probably the best picture I've ever seen of these guys. Just like, and I'm so jealous. I was in Inlay Lake in Myanmar.
Yeah.
And you have the best picture. You definitely have the best picture of the lake where we're fishermen. Was it sunrise or sunset? I don't
remember. That was sunset.
It was sunset. But anyway, it's you know, I don't think, you know, if I would like cruising around in one of those lake rower fishermen boats, you know, you have everything separated. So you're working with them, right, to make the picture?
Well, you know, I think just going back a few sentences, the word that you used was making the picture. And this is the thing I'm trying to get across to people. This is not about capturing the moment. It's about creating art. And so if people can get that into their brains, that we are, as artists, creating art rather than lucky to be there or capturing the moment, then I think people are on board with what I'm trying to teach. So yes, I'm orchestrating several of my favorite shots, as any artist should do. And you know, that whole idea when people come up and say, oh, well, did you manipulate the image or the color or so forth and so on? This particular seminar is all about creating art and using all the tools at our disposal. And at the end of the day, it's not about capturing the moment. It's not about whether the color is saturated or not. I want that terminology out of people's brain for this particular seminar. Yes, there are a lot of instances where you want to be as accurate to the moment as possible. And I shoot in those genres. Many of my books were all about the candid moment or the honesty of the moment. But under the guise photography as art, I want people to really understand we are creating art. And that I make a very strong case for.
You think anyone can do this? Do you think like people can learn how to be creative?
I not only do I think people can learn this, I think even photographers would benefit from this seminar because it opens and expands the route to creativity. And honestly, the reason I'm doing this is I saw a need. I've been teaching ever since I started being a photographer. I didn't just jump in the last 10 years because my stock sales dropped. I have been teaching ever since I learned something, I turned around and taught it. And so over the years, I've been teaching seminars around the world, and I see an over increasing need for people to learn the creative process because, quite honestly, what's happening in the world today is everybody's flocking to the cliche viewpoints and shooting the same shots with new technology, but they're shooting the same shots. And photography ought to be better than that.
Well, I'm laughing because I was doing a workshop. I know you do a lot of workshops. And one of the participants was unhappy because she said, I'm not getting the iconic shots.
Yeah. And that's a pretty hollow victory. If people, all they ascribe to do is get their list of Mount Rainier from Reflection Lakes,
right,
the Grand Canyon from the Southern Point, or whatever it may be, they're losing out because they're not really tapping into their own imagination and their own creativity. And yes, 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 you can teach that. You've got to have the credentials to teach it, I believe. You have to have the interest. You have to put in the time to learn how to convey these certain, and it's almost like the analogy of grabbing a greased pig. When it comes to art, there are very soft edges, and people love, you know, teaching the latest Lightroom plugin because it's tangible and it's nuts and bolts. But teaching art and creativity requires a lot of thought and putting eloquent words to the right and appropriate sequences of photos, and then people get it. Seriously, they get it. They come out of this seminar, and you'll see this a week from Sunday as you attend this. People are excited. You know, it's almost like I'm taking handcuffs off and releasing them to the world.
Oh, that's cool. That's a good analogy. Are you getting tired of seeing like the iconic shots? Like, you know,
do you think?
Well,
do you think?
Here's why.
Honestly, for the longest time, people were just buying the work of others. And because we had cameras, we had the lifestyle to do that. And other people were working in industry or some sort of professional, you know, occupation, but they retired and then they got the cameras and now they want to go out and shoot the same shots. And I'm thinking, okay, that will all last of all of about a year. And then they will wonder what to do next. And they should come to me. Seriously. Yeah,
I know.
They should come to me and I'll teach them what to do next.
Well, I've been following you for a long time. But speaking about those iconic shots, I'm getting tired of seeing like the same type of shots. Like one of my favorite shots of yours, I think it's yours. It's in the Namibian desert, star trails at night with the dead tree in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what year was that taken in?
That would have
about.
Though I would have said the early 90s.
Okay. That was taken in the early 90s with film, right?
Right.
Okay, so I still remember that shot, but now I go on like 500 pixels or whatever, and I see a million star trails with basically, you know, the dead tree or something, and, you know, pointing exactly north so you get the circle and all that stuff. So
this is a perfect segue into this statement that I'm really tired of it because people are not really being creative. They're being let out in photo, and I take people on photo tours, so I don't want to seem like a hypocrite. But what I'm trying to get across in this day of seminars is shoot your own unique image and use your imagination more poignantly. And don't just keep aping what somebody's done, because honestly, what I'm seeing published or what people are like claiming credit for has been shot for 20 years.
Yeah, I know.
They may be using better technology, but it's a hollow victory if it's been shot to death. And so what I'm trying to do, and at the end of the day, I think people get it, is to completely open up your imagination and go for your own shots. And there's great satisfaction when you know you've got a shot that no one else has got.
So what's the downside of that? Say someone comes to your seminar and they think they leave and they practice for 6 months and they think they're an artist. They put a picture up that they love, that they really love. And, but then someone might say, oh, you know, it's a little out of, you know, the background's too out of focus. It's oversaturated. You know, I think when you delve into the world of art, you open yourself up to some more criticisms because you're being different.
Well, you asked what the downside is. I see no downside. And in fact, the following statement you made is they love. And I think that's critical. I don't really want everybody to get what I'm doing. I want the people that are smart, that are creative, to understand. I shoot for a very small audience. And my audience are the people that I would respect because they are the ones that are thinking about art, composition, photography, painting. They're the creative types. And they get what I'm doing. And I love what I'm doing. And I think love equals passion. Passion equals longevity. And you know, though I talk and I occupy the space of photography in this lecture, people that cook, write, dance, any of the humanities could come away with a better understanding of the creative mind from this series of lectures.
I definitely agree. Do you know that book, Steal Like an Artist?
You know, I'm not a well-read man.
Well, it's
simply because I'm on the road my entire life.
Anyway, what the author says in this book, Steele, he says, you know, if, you know, actually Salvador Dali has a quote right in there. Actually, the book opens up with a quote, and he says, those who do not want to imitate anything create nothing. So I think it's a good idea to try to, you know, imitate the work of someone like Art Wolf and then go out and, you know, like my mother said, the best advice you ever gave me was follow your heart. And I think that's what you're saying about your art, right? And what the people coming to your seminar, they're going to leave there, correct me if I'm wrong, thinking, okay, I should follow my heart.
Well, you know, exactly to the point. But, you know, when I was in art school, we were instructed to find an artist that you really like and start painting like that artist. And I did. I chose Seurat and Claude Monet from the Impressionist period. But eventually, from that experience, you evolve into your own style. And so I have inspired a lot of people over my career, but more specifically, I've been inspired by a whole lot of other people. And right. In fact, what I do in this lecture is to show how I'm drawing inspiration from Jackson Pollock, William de Kooning, Rothko, all these various artists that I'm aware of. I draw from their work to create my own visual vocabulary. It's a natural evolution, and it's how cultures evolve.
What's one of the things that you've drawn from Jackson Pollock?
That total abstract of color, line, and imagination. So he famously would say his work ends where your imagination begins. And if you've ever stood in the Museum of Modern Art in New York and watched people stand in front of his very large paintings, he's exactly doing what he professed to do, which is have people's imagination get lost in his work.
I'm looking at your picture, again, of the Lake Rower fisherman. So just to describe to the audience, it's a beautiful shot. What'd you say? It was a sunset?
Sunset.
Sunset. Yes. You have a fisherman in the foreground with his net filling most of the frame, with his leg up like the Lake Rower fishermen have. And in the background, there's two Lake Rower fishermen working. And you shot at F-22 or F-16, a small aperture. So you get a little tiny little sunburst, which I think it really adds a lot. You have a little bit of reflection to the scene, beautiful gradient color, and just a perfect exposure. And everything in the scene is in focus. So how long did it take you to make this shot, not counting your travel time to Myanmar, which I know is a long way away?
Well, in fact, I'm actually, since we're on the subject of Myanmar, I'm teaching a photo tour there with Gabriel Chican, who's worked with me for 25 years, beginning on the 1st of December through the 12th. I think we all congregate in Bangkok the day before. But yeah, we're going to take people to Myanmar and to Inlay Lake and to all the great locations, but also teach photography and art through that process. So thanks for bringing that subject up, because people should join us. We've got about five people on board. We're looking for another three. And for two instructors and eight people, I think we're going to have a great time at a time of the year when it's kind of cold and dark in the North America. Anyway, back to that point is, what's cool about these fishermen is they're out on the lake, whether we were there or not. They're actually out on the lake fishing, as they would do early in the morning and late in the day.
Right.
And so we're using an interpreter. We approach them. We say, we want to photograph you for about 20 minutes. Do you mind? And so, no, they don't mind. Maybe we made an offering, which I don't mind to do, if, in fact, they are amenable to it and we're not taking too much of their time. And so the interpreter is saying, if you can fish like you normally would do, but drift back and forth in front of between the sunset and us, then we're just clicking away. And invariably and always, there's that magic moment where everything happens, because they're moving. They're not just standing stoically on the boat. They're actually drifting, as you've seen in the past.
Right.
And so that collision or that juxtaposition of two or three or four fishermen is what you're after, and you're clicking away, and always there's that one moment where there's a sunburst or something like that. I can't fine tune it to the point where it's like we're on a set. We're actually out on a large lake and the wind is blowing and they're drifting and we're moving. So it's when things happen and it's magic, it winds up in the book. And if it doesn't happen, it's not in the book and we wouldn't be talking about it.
And you have to know your gear. Like, you can't be saying, oh, where's my aperture control? Where's my exposure compensation or whatever?
You can sort that out in the seconds or the minutes before. So, but yeah. And in fact, I remember that situation because there were two groups of us in a boat, and I'm always kind of saying, okay, this is what I'm doing. I've got the ISO at so-and-so, f-stop is this, and this is what I'm exposing for. So there's a lot of instruction as we're shooting, because really at the end of a trip, I want everybody to have amazing shots. You know, they're not going to have hundreds of amazing shots, but out of any given trip, if it's 8 or 9 days, they're going to wind up with 15 or 20 shots that they're going to be happy. Oops, I just lost my
That's okay.
But I'm back.
Well, that's a good goal, not to have a million shots. You know,
the pragmatic side of me is, on any given trip, if you come away with a handful of really strong graphic images, that's not a bad a goal.
No, I'm looking at your pictures here. When I teach photography, when I teach composition, I spend some time talking about separation. And I'm looking at your penguin picture here with the mommy and the daddy and the chick. All the subjects are separated. I'm looking at a beautiful picture from Ethiopia where the warriors on the right are separated from the rainbow. And another picture from Patagonia, I think, Torres Chile, where the tree is separated from – that's a beautiful shot.
I don't have my book in front of you, so I'm just, my brain is going a mile a minute trying to catch up with
you've only taken about 6 million shots, but but this is a picture is taken towards Chile, and it's mountains reflected in the lake and a dead tree.
Okay.
So anyway, do you think about separation? Because I usually tell my students, think separation, because, you know, we see the world in 3D, cameras see too, and it seems like in your inlay lake fisherman pictures and a lot of the kids' pictures and your mountain pictures even and your Antarctica pictures and your Hong Long Bay, you know, those, I know I'm talking too fast, you can't remember all these pictures, but you have a sailboat with red sails separated from the background. So the question is, do you think and teach separation, or what do you think about that?
Well, you know, in my terminology, I would call it three-dimensionality. So, but they're essentially the same thing. Separation for you is depth, and depth in an image creates movement of the eye. And so when people, and I shoot for my audience, you know, I want people to move their eye throughout the composition. And for that image that you were referring to with the dead log in the foreground and Torres del Paine in the distance, the eye goes from the log to the distance and back. And so movement of the eye is imperative. If, on the other hand, your eye just goes to one point and stops, your interest as a viewer of my images ends with that stopping of the movement. It sounds a little complicated, but it happens in an instant. And so the more I can keep people tuned into my image, the more I'm communicating why I shot the shot. If they get bored really quick, their eye stops moving, they're moving on. And so you call it separation. I'm calling it creating a sense of depth. But it's essentially the same thing.
Okay, I'm going to use that from now on. But I'll give you credit. I always give credit.
So, well, you know, it's funny because I use Jay Mizell's example of abstract, where he's got the arrow within the FedEx sign.
Right, right.
And every time because it's brilliant, I use it in my lectures, and I always attribute Jay Mizell, which is the proper thing to do, of course.
Well, speaking of brilliant, buying that building in the 60s and selling it for whatever, how many millions of dollars, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, that caught on fire about 6 weeks ago.
Well, how did that happen? Because it's largely a stone building.
Yeah. I don't know how it happened, but it did. So let's just talk a little bit more before we wrap up about your photography as art. It starts. Okay. They start at what time? 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock in the morning.
And they run till
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
And
they're on Sundays. They're on Sundays, and B&H is a primary sponsor. They promote it. The one in New York is going to be at the Museum of Art and Design, which I think is up by Columbus Circle.
Now, I'm on your site. I'm looking on your site. Where could people find about dates, prices, registration?
I believe you would go into seminars and workshops within my site, and you would see photography as art, and they list the cities.
Yep.
So basically, I'm doing one in Denver. Basically, this Sunday, I'm not sure when this blog airs, but then on October 9th in New York City, and then again October 16th, I'm coming to Indianapolis for the first time. So I'm looking forward to coming to Indianapolis. I got a couple of great friends there, and I want to see what that city's about. But yeah, that'll be Sunday, October 16th.
Yeah, I see Denver, New York, Indianapolis, Austin.
And then next year, I'll be all over the place. This year, I'm just, you know, doing 3 or 4 test cities. I gave it in L.A. a couple of weeks ago. The audience, when they loved
it. I know what you're going to say. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good to cut that out.
They loved it. They absolutely loved it. And I've given it earlier in Houston and Miami. So every time I give it, I present the material. And in fact, I'm constantly changing it, because I was just in the Congo a couple of weeks ago on a volcano, just shooting this brilliant abstract landscape before me. And those photos get embedded in the lecture. So I'm constantly upgrading the lecture and evolving it as I have always done.
Well, I think that's a good idea. I speak a lot too. I give about 10 or 15 seminars a year, and I'm always changing it up. And a lot of my friends are surprised that, you know, like you, you know, we enjoy giving seminars, right?
Yeah.
I love giving seminars. And actually, I give so many. I don't know if people may start. Well, then this is what they're saying. They say, do you still shoot? And now I've been shooting more than ever. But it's interesting that when people start giving seminars, some people think, oh, they're not shooting so much, which is totally not true for you or me.
No.
Okay.
To me, honestly, and it may sound a little too sweet, but it's true. My whole thing is inspiring people, educating and informing people. And so whether I was doing the TV show Travels the Edge or any one of the 100 books I've, which is a ridiculous number, by the way, I'm all about uplifting people, inspiring people, informing people. And it's about other people. And I really firmly believe that teachers are a noble part of our society. It's how cultures evolve. And it's something I would do whether I made any money from it or not. I just want to leave a legacy of information that will evolve down the road with other people.
Well, it's interesting, Art, that you say legacy. You know, I'm big on quotes. And one of my favorite quotes, it's not a photography quote, but it ties into exactly, I think, what you just said. And the quote is that we are a part of everyone we meet.
That's a great point.
And this is really true. So people come into your seminars, you leave, probably, or they leave, and they go and shoot, but you become a part of them. And I think that is one of the coolest parts of being a photo instructor. But you're more than that. You're a great guy, photo instructor, inspirational speaker, all-around fun guy. So anyway, it's Art. Well, and it's – I can't believe there might be someone on the planet who doesn't know that you spell your last name W-O-L-F-E, right? So if they want information on the seminar, they could just go to send an email to info@artwolf.com or just go on your website, artwolf.com, and go to the seminars.
Absolutely.
Do you want to leave our listeners with anything special, any inspirational quotes, any words of encouragement? Because as you know, and as we talked about before we came on, you and I have been around a long time. And you and I have survived, and there are some people who haven't survived, like you mentioned before that, you know, look what happened with the photo stock business. So,
well, you know, yeah, and here's why people don't survive as photographers. They really run out of inspiration. They don't, you know, they've got great equipment, but they drift away because nothing really excites them anymore because they've done all the things that they can think of. But I really want to light a fire under them. I want to encourage them to get back into taking pictures. And the reason being is because I think that, honestly, if you take pictures, you're creating, you're a happy person. And if you're happy, you have infect and influence the people around you. And God knows we need happier news as of late. And so this is what creativity and passion does for you. You can hear it in my voice. I've done this for seven days a week for 40 years, and I'm excited to go out on this weekend in South Dakota and photograph the Buffalo Roundup. I've never done it before. I'm looking forward to it, and I will live a long life unless I step in front of a stupid car.
Or a buffalo.
I should be doing this for a long time.
Or a buffalo. So be careful.
So I leave this with you asked what's the ending statement.
Yeah.
Is pick up the camera and create. Pick up cooking and create. Write, dance, do whatever the discipline calls for you, but be part of that creative community and you will be a happier and a longer lived person.
Well, Art, thank you. I have a big smile on my face. I'm sure our listeners have a big smile on their faces. You really are an inspiration, an amazing photographer. And it is an honor to know you. We were talking about Jonathan Scott before, one of our friends. You know, there are some people who I really look up to, even after all these years. You and Jonathan are definitely right up there.
Rick, thank you.
Thank you, my friend. I'll catch you later.
All right. Bye.
All right. That was pretty awesome, Rick. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. Give me a little run through on what we got there.
Well, you know, like I said, you know, Art is an artist. And I try to emulate people like Art Wolf. You know, I was at Myanmar and he got way better pictures than I. He did have better light, but he has this creative eye. I'm looking at his picture at his site here again, and this picture of just a close-up of a zebra's eye. And I took the same type of shot because I was inspired by him. And I think that we don't want to copy the work of other photographers all the time, but we can't get inspiration from them.
Yeah. Well, what I love about him, I mean, a lot of people know him through his show, Travels to the Edge, right?
Yes,
and
he
did 3 seasons of that, and it was amazing. What I loved is that this was, I mean, I want to say before the days of YouTube, not really before it, but you couldn't go and watch photographers out there doing what they do. And I would love to watch that show and see how he does everything. But he's just so inspirational. And I just love the fact that he's always able to find an image somewhere. I go out with so many photographers and they say, the light's not very good. You know, I'm going to put my camera away. And he was able to take whatever situation he's in and he's able to find something, whether he's, you know, it's like trickles of rain in the mud. He's making an amazing image. And he's a special guy, a special photographer.
He has some pretty darn good pictures of trickles of rain in the mud, by the way.
Right, exactly.
No, it's amazing. So anyway, we also talked about, you know, not specializing, because I start out, as you heard, that, you know, we talk about that most people know Art Wolf as a wildlife photographer. Mm-hmm. His wildlife pictures are beautiful. His landscape pictures are stunning. And his people pictures have a sense of intimacy, unlike, you know, some of the pictures I've seen by other pros. And that sense of intimacy and that personal feeling really comes through. So I think that's one of the things, you know, I try to do in my photography, establish that sense of intimacy. And one way to do that is to shoot close. You know, I like to photograph people with the 24 to 105 mm-hmm. at about the 35 millimeter setting. And of course, it depends. But I think, you know, the tip is the closer you are to the subject, the more intimate the picture becomes.
So go a little wider, like 35 millimeters, then you have to move closer, but then you get that feeling. You get that feeling with a reaction from your subject, but you also get a feeling that it looks like you're closer to the person when you took the shot.
Yeah, you feel like you're there. You know, you could take a nice shot, and I've seen some of your awesome sports shots, you know, your basketball shots, right? You use a long lens, and you know, you're at the field, but you're not like right there standing next to the person, which you can't be. But yeah, like when, again, in Myanmar, I was like about 6 feet away from this nun, this Buddhist nun, and people look at the pictures and they feel the picture, and they feel as though they're there. So what's your feeling on specializing?
Yeah, because I know that's what you say, is your specialty is to not specialize. And I've had people tell me, like, you know, Rick keeps saying that, but I keep hearing other places that you got to specialize. A lot of other people out there saying you're not going to make it unless you specialize. And I find it depends on what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like our friend Tim Wallace from the UK, he's a car photographer. That's all he does. And when you listen to him talk, he said, you know what, actually, I'm not just a car photographer. I'm known for the interior details of the car. I specialize in that. And when you hear his talk, he says, I've got a friend, all he shoots is bubbles. If you need a shot of a glass of beer with bubbles on the top of it,
that's the guy.
That's the guy in the world. So I believe that if you want to go into business as a true photographer and you want to make it, you know, as like a commercial photographer, maybe is a better way to say it. If you want to be a commercial photographer, it does make sense to specialize. But if you want to be out there being someone that's helping other people and getting the most out of the photography for your own enjoyment, especially, then you don't need to specialize, and there would be reasons to not specialize.
I agree. So someone like me, though, like you said, you know, an instructor, you know, I feel, you know, what I learn in macro flower photography, I could apply to food photography. What I learn in outdoor HDR photography, I could apply to indoor HDR photography. But yeah, like Lindsay Adler, who's speaking out of New York, right?
She specializes
in these beautiful pictures of women. So she has specialized in that. But my guess is she'd probably make a pretty good wildlife photographer.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't thought about that till now, but that's a good point. Like Tim Wallace, he makes amazing landscape photos and he's got some great street photography. So he does all those things, and I'm sure it helps him with his car photography. The difference is that when he's promoting himself on social media, he's not putting his street photos and the pictures of his family. He's only putting his car photos on there.
Well, the other thing, Chris, is you know, perception is everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I talk to a lot of people who think I'm a landscape photographer.
And I do have, actually, I'm going out to California to the Canon Experience Center soon to give a presentation just on landscape photography. So I put together, you know, a slideshow of 250 pictures. I'm not going to get through them all of landscapes. But as you know, I love photographing people the most. And when people say you're a landscape photographer, I said, I really look at my site. I have more pictures of people than anything. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, and don't you just have some recent classes out as well on portraits and setting up your own home studio? Is that right?
Yes. You know, Scott Kelby is a great guy. And, you know, they went through some changes down there. But now they're focusing on classes. So I was just down there on turning, and I did a class, Turn Your Home into a Pro Studio Part 2. And he was down there. And when I was on the air, he said, my first class was the most popular class, one of the most popular classes. And people want to know how to do that. So now I'd rather be, you know, in Africa photographing wildlife and the Maasai, you know, in a village. But I know how to shoot indoors. And that's a not specializing thing. You know, that's why I like to do it all. So the listeners, you know, I think, is there a place on your site or your blog where people can comment?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because that would be cool to see how many people specialize or, you know, or don't specialize.
That's right. That's right. We'll put that up on Facebook too as a question going along with the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, you said you saw Art Wolf a while ago in Chicago.
That's right. So he came 2 or 3 years ago, and I had the privilege of driving him back to the airport. He was freaking out the entire time that we were going to miss his flight, but we had a really good conversation, and his talk was very interesting, and he hit on a couple of the things, like you said, when he's in nature or wherever he is, he's looking for things that remind him of a painting, that remind him of art that he's seen before. And then so he would talk about like these red bushes and the snow. And, you know, I think that was when he was in Japan. That's one of his
photos. Oh, yeah, the snow monkeys, right.
Well, there's, yeah, and that too. And I don't know. And so he's talking about, you know, he's not just taking a picture of a thing. He's trying to have what comes out on the back of his camera and on the computer to be a piece of artwork, whether it represents that thing exactly or not. So it may be very abstracted, but it's very artistic.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to having him come back again. So he's going to be in Chicago, I believe it is, on June 11th of next year. And I don't think they have the details on that yet, but we definitely will be putting that up, and we'll have a bunch of us there, I'm sure, going to his thing. So I'm looking forward to that. So yeah. June 11th, 2017.
Yeah, if you go to Art Wolf, and it's WOLFE, artwolf.com, you'll see the list. He's going to be in Denver, New York City, Indianapolis, Austin, Atlanta, Portland, which is going to lead me to something else. Scottsdale, Memphis, Toronto, Chicago, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. And there'll be more. But what this is leading to, Chris, is this guy's an amazing photographer, and he still loves teaching. And I think this is really part of being a photographer, teaching and sharing. Joe McNally gives a lot of seminars, and you know, all the top pros today, they're just not out there shooting. They're giving the seminars. They're doing online classes. Art has so much educational stuff on his site. You know, you're a former physics teacher, right?
I guess you could say that. Yes,
That's right. Couldn't say that a year ago, right?
That's right. I could just say that now. Yep, just the last couple months. For
sure. Anyway, you know, teaching, there's something very, very rewarding about teaching. And for Art, someone of Art Wolf's status to be out there, which I think is a good example for whether it's, you know, the people, you know, some of the photographers we talked about, Art Wolf, whatever. It's you learn a lot too, you know?
Well, yeah, that's what they say, is the more you teach it, the more you'll learn. And you know, that was true when I taught physics, and it's true when I'm teaching photography now, for sure. I mean, that's the way to learn something, is to explain it to somebody else, whether you're an actual teacher or you're just out with your friends and helping them.
Yeah, you stand up in front of 400 people, and I always say, if anyone has any questions, you know, like at the IMAX in Denver, you know, I say, just raise your hand. I'll answer the question. And if it's a long question, I say, you know, I'll answer it later. But I realized, did I really say that? Oh, I didn't mean to say that, or I didn't realize that. That's amazing. Thank you so much for, you know, for, you know, expanding my knowledge.
For sure. Yeah. I just read this somewhere. They said that if you really want to learn a subject better, or they were talking, I think specifically about photography, they said, go out with someone else that's a photographer that is just slightly lower level than you. I mean, that's hard to say who's a higher level, but, you know, hasn't been doing it quite as long. And the two of you go shoot together, not an absolute beginner, but someone that's near you, they will ask the perfect questions and it'll get you thinking, well, why do I do it that way? And, you know, and that's how you grow.
And they also think of things that you may not think about. Like, I have a young friend, Spike is his name. And he's a really cool guy. I hope you get to meet him someday. They call him Spike because he has these earrings. He's really a cool dude. You know, they don't call them earrings. What do you call them through your lips? Just piercings.
I'm anyway, not the one to ask, yeah.
No. Anyway, this guy is really cool. We're at this, this marine junkyard, which is a great place for close-ups. And so I'm teaching all this stuff and composition and light. And at the slideshow, at the end of my workshop, this guy's showing focus stacking, which I didn't even think about. So the next time I go there, which I'm going next year, I'm going to try focus stacking. So you do really learn from others.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the great thing about teaching for sure. You know, let me say one more thing about Art Wolf, because yeah. This was kind of crazy about our thing last year or a couple of years ago. That talk was on composition. And I remember some people that afterward, they're like, man, you know, that wasn't what I expected. That wasn't really the talk that I thought that I was going to get. And they're like, I don't know how he goes through an entire talk like that and never even talked about like rule of thirds and never talked about. And it was because he was so far beyond that. This class is really for people that know those basics, but he just blew my mind with the things he was saying and how he, you know, if you want to get better, it's not about a rule. It's that it comes from, you know, my favorite thing was he was saying, study artwork. Don't go back and study old photographers necessarily, but go back and study art through the centuries. And that's where you're going to learn it. So I thought it was phenomenal. And if you're someone that's trying to take that next step, that art's my favorite.
Well, yeah.
Rick, sorry.
Well, I would say art's up there. So anyway, what else? Anything else good before we go?
No, I think that's great. We're really looking forward to having you out of New York, October 14th and 15th. As a matter of fact, we're going to be opening it up so that if you can't afford to come to the whole thing, but you're near New York City and you want to come see Rick, we're going to be opening up his class and Lindsay's class also, just to come for either one of those. Plus, feel free to come and hang out at the trade show that we have there. We have a bunch of companies that will have special deals and we'll be doing a bunch of stuff like that. So come hang out with us. We'll put it on in the show notes and we'll put it online that we're going to have you. That'll be free if you want to come to Lindsay or Rick's talk.
That's cool. Speaking of Lindsay, I congratulated her the other day. We both had pictures at the Whitney Museum.
Wow. There
was a special showing and I had an HDR shot. She had one of her pictures. I congratulated her for being, again, a young, talented person who's really busy, who's really making an impact. And she's a great example of hard work pays off. You know, she's a Canon Explorer of Light. She told me for years she tried to be. So I'm very, very happy that Lindsay Adler, if you're listening, Miss Lindsay Adler, very happy that you're doing so well and B, that you're a Canon Explorer of Light.
Yeah. No, Lindsay's wonderful. We love her. We had her at our portrait conference this past year too. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people think, wow, I wish I could get lucky and get to that position or whatever, but she has put so much work into it and she's just a driven person. And I remember we were talking about, not to keep going, but she's like, oh, you're a physics teacher. Like, let's talk about, the inverse square law, you know, applies the light. And I'm like, oh, well, tell me, Lindsay. And she explains the entire thing, all the physics in depth. And she goes, well, I was a valedictorian. So she was. Yeah, she's a very, very intelligent person and she's very driven. And you put those together and yeah, she's doing great. And she's one of my favorite people to listen to speak. She gives a great presentation.
Well, on that, and if you want to wrap up, we can after this, yeah. But Susan was in the next office over there, who you know. We went to an event and she was doing a nude presentation.
The models.
And Susan said that she never saw a photo instructor conduct the seminar in such a respectful way to the model and the audience and still got amazing shots.
Yeah. She's great. She's phenomenal. So, cool. Very good. So we're going to see both you guys in New York, and hope everyone enjoyed the interview with Art, and we'll see you soon, Rick.
Keep up the great work, Chris.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
Bye-bye.